You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Manchester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
I don't know what you're like when you leave home. One of the last things that I say to my wife as we are backing out the drive, leaving home, is, have you locked the door? I know that seems maybe like an obvious question, but through experience, we've found that we need to ask the question, have you locked the door? But even more than that, I now have to say, have you taken the key out of the door? A few weeks ago, we had an experience where we'd been here in Manchester in church and, you know, been here from the morning till mid-afternoon. And as we pulled back onto the drive at home, the key to the house was in the door that was not locked. This is not a good situation. And so I'm not saying who it was, but there's two of us and one of us has got the microphone. But so now we have to ask the question, have you locked the door and have you taken the key out of the door? I guess we've all had experience where we've got home, like I did this week, and I hadn't taken a key with me, and you find yourselves locked out. And you think, this is so frustrating. It's such a schoolboy error to not take the house key with me. And this time, nobody in our house left the door open. And they didn't even consider that I wouldn't have the house key on this day by leaving the key in the door. I mean, seriously, couldn't they have thought, he's not going to take the key today. I'll just keep the key in the door just in case. And so I got home this week, and I could not get in the door. You know what you do? You look around the corner and you see through the window, and everything that you need is almost within touching distance. It's got to be the most frustrating thing in life to be so close, yet so far. You're within touching distance of the things that you need to do and, you know, the things that you need to get on with, but you're just completely helpless. As you look painfully through the window at everything that is just too far away. In life, there are many times that we look at different situations and we would feel like we're locked out. That things are so close, yet they're so far. We're blessed in the UK where mostly, on the most part, our basic needs are met. We can, on the whole, we can access drinking water and food. And on the most part, we have a roof over our heads. And so we know what it is to have most of our basic needs met. But our needs go beyond that. And we also have wants. And beyond our basic needs being met, every single one of us wants protection and that feeling of security and safety. Every one of us wants more than that. We actually want to feel like we're doing something significant with our life. We actually want purpose. And we want to get to a place where we feel our contribution matters, where we feel like we're known in an environment, we have vibrant relationships, we're valued and loved. Every one of us knows these things that are not only just needs, but they're actually something that we aspire to. But we can spend our time at the door feeling like we're so close, and yet we don't have access. Many of these desires that we have, maybe for you it could be a vibrant, healthy relationship. You look at everybody else. It seems like everybody else in church has vibrant and healthy relationships. But for me, I'm at the locked door. I can see through the window when I come on a Sunday. Everybody else seems to have it, but I'm locked out. It feels like through watching Instagram and Facebook that everybody else is living life to the max. They've got the best life. And yet, I feel like I'm at a locked door. I feel like I don't have purpose. I don't have reason. I don't have meaning in life. Every one of us has different aspects of life where we can feel like we're at a locked door. So close, yet so far. Today, we're talking about my miracle of eternity. And for a few moments, I just want to share about my miracle of eternity. When I was 18, I left home and I went to university in a different city. And in many parts, this was the dream to move away from home where, you know, you can feel as a teenager, you're doing everything that your parents are telling you and you got to go certain places and live by certain principles and rules. And at 18, I can go and do whatever I want. And so we moved away. And when I went to this city, I actually had this experience where I knew I needed to be in this place, but I had no reason, no understanding why I needed to be there. But when I got there, it was my mission. My highest goal in life was to enjoy life. That was it. My kind of mantra, not spoken but felt, and definitely acted out, was whatever I do, as long as I'm having fun, having a good time, then that's good enough for me. And so I spent a year of university just doing whatever I wanted to do. I got to the end of that year and thought, well, what was that all about? I ended up going to a church service back where I'd come from. And in that moment, I heard about a God who was not just about someone that I needed to live up to aspire to be like, to live according to his ways, but also that he had a plan and a purpose for my life. This opened the windows of my eyes. I couldn't believe that this incredible God, who I understood was maybe out there, was also interested in my part to play. I heard about a plan and purpose that was way bigger than me, and yet God invited me into playing a part of his plan. I was like, this is incredible. You mean I get to live a life of meaning, of purpose, of feeling like I'm playing a significant role? And in that moment, I knew everything had changed. I responded to God. I made a decision. I'm going to live for him. And I made a decision, when I go back to that city, I'm going to get part of a church and I'm going to invest my life trying to find out, discover what this plan means for me. I'm going to follow this incredible God that loves me and has a plan and a purpose for my life. That was my miracle of eternity, where I've got a clear before and after. And if you're here and you've responded to God, most of us would have that understanding of what it was like before God and what it was like since God got involved in our life. You remember that moment he found you and everything changed. Your direction changed. Some of the outside periphery of life maybe didn't change for a while, but you know internally everything changed. How many people? You've got that moment. Come on, I want you to think about before you knew God, and since you've known him, the difference God has made. And as you look back over years on that journey, you see the gap gets wider. How you would be now would be very different to the you find yourself in connection with this God who loves you and has a plan for your life. The Bible explains this chasm so incredibly in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. That's how I was living first year of university. You followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Every one of us lived among them at one time. We all did whatever we wanted to do. We all lived that life pre-God at one time. We were gratifying the cravings of our flesh, and we were following its desires and its thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But, come on, how many people remember that moment? But because of his great love for us, because of God's initiative, because of God's heart, because God reached out to us, because God found us, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you have been saved. Wow. That passage explains my life so much. That there was a pre-God, I was completely dead in my spirit. And that moment that God spoke to me and the scales fell off my eyes, I suddenly became alive on the inside. Everything changed in a moment. Thank God that he found us. Come on, if you've had that moment, you know what it is like. And now I want you to think about the gratitude that you have, where you would be now if God had not found you. Before, we were looking in all of the wrong places. I was scrambling around because I felt locked out of purpose. I felt locked out of plans. I was scrambling around trying to find the key. I was trying to find a key over here, maybe my significance, maybe purpose can found in a relationship, or maybe it can be found somewhere else in being a part of some community, or maybe it can be found in being the popular person. How can I find plans and purposes for my life? Felt locked out, and yet in that moment, the key was given to me. The door was opened. And I found everything that I'd been searching for. The Bible says, Jesus said himself in John chapter 10 and verse 9, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. Whoever, you may be whoever today. You may feel like a nobody. You may feel like you're one in a crowd. But God says, whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in, they'll go out, and they'll find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I, Jesus, have come that you may have life and life to the full. In John chapter 14, Jesus describes himself as I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus describes himself as the way. Jesus describes himself as the gate. Jesus describes himself as the door. And right now, we have a moment to thank God that he has given us full access into the pasture of peace, of purpose, of meaning, of reason, of significance. He's given us the way into the miracle of eternity. None of us is locked out. Jesus is the door to our miracle of eternity. What a miracle. We could literally take a moment and finish the service right there. Going, God, we just walk away from today thanking you that I was once dead, but today now I am found. So the question remains, well, why are we still here then? If we have found my miracle of eternity, why are we still here today? And the reason is because there are many people behind many doors that have not yet received my miracle of eternity. There are many, many people feeling locked out, feeling like they don't have access, feeling like maybe they don't have purpose, feeling like they don't have reason, asking the questions of life. And God is calling us, his church, to be his hands and his feet, to knock on doors and to be the people that say, come on, I'm going to believe not just for my miracle of eternity, but I'm going to go and represent God to be the answer, the key to somebody else's miracle of eternity. 2 Peter 3:9 says, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. 1 Timothy chapter 2, God says he wants all to be saved and come to a knowledge of him. This is God's heart. God's heart is almost like, metaphorically, God on the edge of his seat is waiting for this Sunday for the church to not only thank God for my miracle of eternity, but to understand the significance of that moment and the purpose in that moment and the responsibility of that moment, that we would go and be to somebody else the hands and feet of God, so that they can receive their miracle of eternity. The kingdom of God is not a private party. It's not a private party. On the other side of this door, there is somebody waiting for an invitation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. It says, "Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with that person and they with me." I wonder how many doors through life we've just walked past. I wonder how many doors and moments and opportunities we've just walked past. The Bible says God even knocks at the door. It says anyone that opens this door, anyone that opens the door, I will come in. I will come and sit with them. And as he describes himself as the way, the gate, the door, as they enter in to relationship with God, they will receive my miracle of eternity. But we've got to make a decision not to walk past the door of our neighbors. Not just to walk past the door of that opportune conversation at the kettle at work. And someone says, "What did you do this weekend?" Not to walk past that moment where somebody reaches out to you and says, "I wonder, do you have any answers?" And you say, "Ah," and you wrestle internally. And you walk past the door. I wonder if over the next few weeks we could recognize these doors of opportunity. They may not be a physical door, but they're moments where conversations are opened up. Moments of invitation where we can say, "Okay, I'm going to open this door and I'm going to believe for a significant moment." These doors are why we do things like our youth ministry and we go into schools, and the reason why we set up an audacious foundation with English for speakers of other languages, and the reason why we open our doors to the community, the reason why we do all of these things. But this Easter, we're not going to stop there. We believe that the whole church are part of opening doors like this.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.